Richard LeBlanc is an associate professor of law, governance, and ethics at York University, and he joins me in our Toronto studio. Hello.
Hi, Anne-Marie.
How concerned are you by the issues that Teresa Tedesco has raised through her reporting about the private interests and the corporate board sitting on corporate boards by senators?
Well, I think it's an irreconcilable conflict, and I think we should do what the Americans do, which is just completely prohibit it. Teresa brought up an important point about the perception of conflicts of interest, which is more important than the potential actual conflict. When you review the guideline that applies to senators, there's a major flaw in that it's a reasonable perception, what the senator reasonably believes. So there's no trigger that's based on a perceived conflict. The word perception isn't even mentioned in the entire document. Also, the Senate ethics officer is under the control of the Senate committee, which is five senators. So when you read the legislation, it's a very genteel piece of work that's defective because it relies on the judgment of the senator in first instance. And good conflict of interest statements don't do that.
Now, can I just clarify then? There are guidelines, but there are not strict regulations? Or what do you call what they actually follow?
It's
because some do recuse themselves, do they not?
Yes, it's the conflict of interest code for senators.
And can you take us through what it says?
Well, it's a 40 or so page document that outlines when you would come forward, but it doesn't have a trigger. There's very little public accountability. The private interest is very narrow versus a general interest, such as what Teresa said, the responsibility to shareholders versus the responsibility to the Canadian public. You can, under this, if you assume self-interest and enrichment by a senator, this is full of holes. You can drive a Mack truck through it because very little requirements for coming forward. There's very little examples, speeches, teaching, other perceived conflicts compared to the American code. The American code is very prohibitive. Outlines it. In fact, it's the opposite. The Canadian code is, you can do the following, but you have to come forward. The American code is you can't do any of this. And I think the perception of a conflict of a legislator in an upper house approving legislation, there's examples of senators that have sat on the board of an oil company, for example, working on climate change legislation. So it's the potential for real conflicts that is not triggered in this Canadian code.
And then it relies on individual senators to use their own judgment more than someone saying, hang on, you can't do this.
Exactly. And if we had a culture of internal controls and with the expense scandal, there's no reason to believe that if you relied on that genteel culture that would actually work.
Now, outgoing Senator Hugh Segal was quoted as saying the Senate sits for only 80 or 90 days a year, implying that he has lots of time to devote to other business interests, which includes being a corporate board member or a director. What do you think of that line of thinking?
I don't buy it in the sense that we're even restricting executives from serving on multiple boards. Even a retired director, for example, right now, there's evidence that if you're a busy director, which is more than two boards, you shouldn't be serving on more than two or three boards. The average board position is 300 hours a year. So it's just the sheer lack of time now to serve on a corporate board. When you're serving on two or three boards or even one board, and you're also a legislator, as I said, it's prohibited in the U.S.
Now, in the House of Commons, ministers and parliamentary secretaries are required to put private business interests in a blind trust. What would that kind of move for senators address some concerns?
There's no requirement for a blind trust under the guidelines. There is, some evidence that even blind trust can be manipulated for advantage. PKP in Quebec was asked the price of a stock.
Pierre-Carl Pelladeau.
Pierre-Carl Pelladeau. With the price of a stock, if a senator can own stock and can buy and sell as they choose, the price of a stock can be affected by the regulatory climate for that particular business and that particular industry. So that is an obvious conflict, not having a blind trust.
So what needs to be done in Canada, do you think?
I think we need to become more mature and sophisticated, as other jurisdictions have done, with respect to a dividing line. It should be, it should not be permissive. It should not rely on the goodwill of the senator. We need to have hard-hitting conflict of interest guidelines and expense and accountability to Canadian taxpayers, and a clear dividing line, as other jurisdictions have done. This does not signal a mature democracy.
And you make the point that a perception of a conflict of interest can be as damaging as a real conflict of interest.
Correct.
Explain that.
It doesn't matter what the senator thinks. Under this legislation, if the senator believes that he's not or she's not in conflict, and you can rationalize anything as an individual, it's kind of like the Rob Ford scandal, where Rob Ford said, you know, it's the children, it wasn't a whole lot of money, by using letterhead for the City of Toronto to solicit donations. It doesn't matter what the recipient of the conflict thinks. What is the driving force is what is the perception. It's an objective versus a subjective standard. And that's a major flaw in the Canadian guideline, is that it relies on the senator. To some extent, it doesn't matter what the senator thinks. It's the perception that should drive the conflict.
So you want to see a level of oversight?
That's
obviously,
right.
That where they can be accountable.
That's right. That's what the Americans do.
Okay. Thank you for coming in.
My pleasure, Andrew.
That is Richard LeBlanc. He's an associate professor of law, governance, and ethics at York University.